Welcome to the C-Suite podcast that we are recording at Money 2020 USA in Las Vegas. I'm Russell Goldsmith, and together with Graham Barrett, we'll be chatting to a number of the speakers and attendees from the conference.
We're producing the show in partnership with Instant, a leader in fraud insurance technology and a five-star sponsor of Money 2020. We hope that through these short conversations with CEOs and senior executives from banks, credit unions and fintechs, we'll provide you with a real flavour and understanding of the topics and issues being discussed here at the event.
So I'm now joined by Sunil Madhu, the founder and CEO of Instant. Sunil, first of all, thank you so much for inviting us to come and record the C-Suite podcast on your booth this year.
It's been our pleasure. It's been great.
And I can't believe it's a year since we last had a chat on the podcast.
Time flies when you're in startups and having fun.
It's crazy. How has those past 12 months been for you?
Hectic. Ups and downs, but positive. Moving up and to the right. We're in the process of raising Series A, and we are growing.
Great. Well, look forward to hearing more about that at some point. But here at Money 2020, obviously there's a lot going on. Instant are involved in so many things as one of the five-star sponsors. Last night, though, you guys hosted a panel at Mott 32, one of the restaurants here at the Venetian. Tell us about what you were doing there, who was involved, and what the discussion was.
We wanted to invite banks, fintechs, essentially, that represent the attendees of this conference to launch a new solution that we're bringing to market. Around universal ID and the notion that as consumers, you know, we go through a lot of friction on a day-to-day basis, having to establish accounts at different financial services companies. For every single product we subscribe to, we have to go through sign-ups, KYC, fraud checking, and all that friction trying to get to that product. So we were wondering, wouldn't it be nice if we could eliminate all of that noise in the middle between the consumer and the product, and bring them as close to the product as possible, which is within one click or as kind of a QR code. And so we created this new technology based on some open standards, so there's no vendor lock-in risk. But when the customer is accepted, when they're signing up and they're accepted for the very first time, the system, the technology that we've built, issues that consumer a reusable pass. It's done behind the scenes with the mobile app of the business that the consumer is using. But in essence, the consumer gets a little prompt from the mobile app that says the financial institution is passing you some information about you that was just verified. Do you wish to accept? So when they click that yes button, this pass is seamlessly passed into that mobile app, into a secure wallet, identity wallet, behind the scenes. Now, when that customer comes back and you're trying to upsell additional products to them where they'd normally have to sign up over again, instead, they get a prompt from a mobile app that says, can I just use this pass to log you in or sign you up? So they just click yes. It's a very lazy behavior. But when you do that click, you're in. You don't have to sign up anymore. All the information required to verify you is in the pass. The pass is secure, cryptographically secure. And the way you were verified for the level of risk for the products you were accessing before when that pass was given to you is all codified into the pass. So the recipient of the pass is able to use these open standards, verify that in fact the pass belongs to you, that it's not been stolen, the data has not been altered, and how that pass was issued, what types of verification did you have to go through, was it biometric or passports or whatever. All of that information is there in the pass as well. So the business can use that information behind the scenes to go do all of the bootstrapping and stuff that they would normally have to do in order to set up that new account for you. So that happens silently. And from a user acceptance perspective, you've got the most frictionless experience. Now, all that information now about you is owned by you, decentralized, in your mobile app, in your hand. The business no longer has to worry about somebody hacking into them and stealing all of your information and exposing them to all sorts of reputational types of risk. So it's a win-win, right? They've made it easier for the customer, and at the same time, they've made it better for their business. So we believe that this technology is timely and it's going to change the future. It may take 5 years because the industry kind of moves a bit slow, but it's already got legs. The federal government started using the same technology to issue passes. They're looking at digital passports for citizens, you know. And the private sector and financial institutions are looking at ways to give people these type of seamless, frictionless experiences without skimping on the risk and compliance stuff, which they're required to do because they're regulated. This sort of solves both problems.
And why was it so important for you to launch MultiPass at Money 2020?
Money 2020, unlike a lot of conferences, is vertically integrated. So all the vendors, the aggregators, the fintech companies, the banks, the credit unions, they're all represented here. So if you want to amplify the message to the audience that there's something new and different that can change outcomes, this is the best place to do it.
We're going to be speaking with your colleague, Justin Kammerman, about the technical side. I'm just keen to hear from your perspective what it means for you, the business, and you know, Instant moving forward.
For me personally, I'm a geek, as you know. I'm a computer science guy. You know, this has been a journey over 30 years. 30 years ago, as part of a startup that created a standard called SAML and this concept called single sign-on. Back then in the 90s, the internet was just new and enterprise applications were growing and people had to remember a dozen passwords for all the apps they were using in the office. So we came up with this idea of using a single password, single ID, to access all of these different applications. That ended up generating a new standard called SAML. Our company actually proposed the standard. And SAML's used to federate who you are, your identity, across enterprises. Now, that became open authentication on the internet, or a different version. And consumers can now use Facebook or Twitter, whatever their social media choice is, X, to log in with that identity. And what's missing in all of this is trust. Just because someone tells you, this is my name and here's my Facebook ID, doesn't really mean that they're real or you can trust them. And so I kind of wanted to bring this full circle and say, well, how can we help accept that customer and verify them in a pretty secure manner? And then how can we give control of their data back to them? And how can we have that single sign-on experience but extend it to registrations, single sign-on? And what can we do to get rid of passwords and all that nonsense, right? Because that's contributing to the problem in the first place of hacks. And I thought about that for a long time. And that's one of the kind of drivers for me to go and start Instant on the back of Socure. Because I realized that the market's still inefficient and businesses are constantly having to trade off between how many good customers to let in and how to keep the bad people out and stuff. So we came up with this business model for Instant as a provider of fraud insurance and fraud protection to businesses and technology on top of that that allows businesses to accept more good customers, get protection from the losses, and eliminate friction for the consumer. That's the full circle journey for me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, listen, it's been great to catch up again. Certainly from the buzz around the booth this year, it seems like you're doing all the right things.
Yeah.
But for now, listen, Sunil, Madhu, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers. So I'm now joined by Tracy Davis, the Global President for Money 2020. Tracy, thank you so much for giving up some time, so I can just imagine how busy you are at this conference today. Let's start with Money 2020 itself. Why is it so important, and what is it that you're doing different from other events of its kind in this sector?
Well, that's a good question as we sit here on the, you know, the opening morning. I think, look, Money 2020, we're 12 years old now, and you know, we were created and founded to bring the industry, the whole ecosystem, so the banks, fintechs, VCs, startups, together to do business. So everyone under one roof, 4 days, to do business. And that's why we were founded, it's what we do today. And so I think the things that stand out are the scale, the just the volume of people here from every corner of the industry. Because as we know, this industry is built on partnerships, and so everyone is under one roof. So that's why we were founded, because originally that wasn't the case. And you know, we've now done that for 12 years. We do it here in the USA, we do it in Europe, and obviously we will be going to Bangkok next April 24. So that is what we do, and we describe it as where money does business. And you know, that we're on the show floor here this morning, here in Las Vegas, and it's busy. And you know, there are just meetings and meetings, and that's what it's about ultimately. So you know, that's really the core of what we do, and we just stick stick to our knitting, as we say in the UK. That's what we do, and you know, that's what our customers want.
Vegas is pretty exceptional. I mean, we've recorded now, so this is our second year here. We've done a tour at Amsterdam, but I mean, this is another scale.
Well, everything's bigger in Vegas, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
So yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's our original show, remember, founded back in, 2012 now. So it is, you know, Europe was launched 2016. So it's been going longer. But, you know, it's a huge market here. But it's not just about the USA. I know it's Money 2020 USA in Las Vegas. But, you know, there'll be people from over 95 countries here this week. So everyone is here, because money is global and everyone's coming in to do business. But yeah, Vegas is our biggest show, and it's Vegas. Everything's bigger here, and everything Money 2020 is bigger here. Because yeah, aside from all what we're talking about and doing business and great content, you know, what we love to do is make it fun. Look, money's really serious. We you know, of course it is. But there is a fun and experience. You know, we've got various evening industry nights. We've got 50 years of hip hop tomorrow. You know, you can do business morning till night, but we like to make it fun. So that's the other signature that we have, our sort of slightly creative experience. I don't know if you've been racing over at Money Motor Circuit
yet. Not yet, but we'll
be
definitely
there later.
Intend to, definitely.
Maybe we should set up a race.
Oh, 100%, so. I'm up for that. Obviously, everyone's here making big announcements, making launches. You've got a launch of your own, 20-fold. It's a new intelligence platform. Tell us what problem it's solving.
Yeah, so I think most people, I announced that we were launching 20-fold. I think everyone was expecting me to announce a show, and I announced a digital product. So what problem is it solving? Well, it's really about helping our customers do business. So if we talked about we're the place where money does business. This is a digital product that helps the industry do business. So it's about finding startups. It will cover, we're in early access phase at the moment here, showing it to our customers, and we're demoing it. Goes full launch January. And it will cover 80,000 fintechs globally. So it will, you know, it has an incredible taxonomy. It's fintech specific, and it's really the deepest focus on fintech startups globally. So it will enable VCs and, you know, fintech companies to find and identify startups, particularly early stage. So the problem it's solving is helping people who need to do business find startups quickly and easily than they do currently. So that's the problem it's solving. And well, you can have a demo here this week.
Great.
It's getting a great reaction.
Excellent. So we are recording the podcast this year on our partner's booth, Instant. They've also been a partner of Money 2020 for quite a few years. Their CEO and founder, Sunil Madhu, has been interviewed on your podcast.
Yeah.
So nice to give a plug for another podcast on the show. Tell us what he was talking about on the show there.
Yeah, so he's done an interview with Sanjeev Kalita, who we call Chief Wizard at Money 2020. We don't like ordinary job titles. So a conversation between Sunil and Sanjeev, really talking about the challenges and identity and about friction. And the whole sort of progression of this industry is about the removal of friction for customers. And so with the launch that Instant have announced here this week, and the conversation with Sanjeev is about multipass and about the new product that makes that sort of step forward, the one-click identity verification. We are all about big announcements that move the industry forward. And, you know, delighted to see, you know, many customers here this week doing big announcements. And, you know, obviously we have this big announcement from Instant that we're announcing at the press lunch. You know, we have record press call here, and that I think they're going to be super excited. Identity is a very, very hot topic, as we know. And then obviously in conversation with Sanjeev, you know, Sanjeev and Sunil able to really talk about the themes around it in a lot more detail than obviously giving you the kind of top of the waves. But we talked at the top about, you know, things that are important here, and customers know that this is the place to announce new products, because this is the place where they then can meet new customers, existing customers, share that with the press. So we're delighted to have Instant make such a great announcement. There's such a step forward in friction, or, you know, becoming more frictionless in the area of identity. It's been a really important innovation.
That's great. Well, thank you for that. Finally, you touched on this at the top of our interview. You're launching in Asia next year.
Yeah.
What can we expect there?
Well, Bangkok is a fantastic city. I mean, aside from that, you know, Asia is a truly exciting fintech market. I mean, the scale of you know, the fintech innovation there. So it's logical that we should be there, and we are there. So we're launching in Bangkok in April. But aside from it being a new city, Southeast Asia, as we talked about, it's the place where money does business. So this is enabling the Southeast Asian fintech market to do business. We've already announced over 50 speakers from 15 plus countries. I mean, it's such an incredible dynamic region with innovation, incredible startups, obviously very mobile-led in the market. So you can expect a fantastic, fabulous show, and in an amazing city. And you know, it will have all of the ingredients that we see here in Las Vegas and we see in Europe. So I think it's going to be super special. We're really excited.
Well, good luck with that, and good luck with the rest of the conference this week. But for now, Tracy Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with Dee Choubey, CEO of MoneyLion. Nice to see you here today, Dee.
Nice to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
No, not at all. Well, I don't know how long you've been at the show, but what do you see as the main talking points of Money 2020 this year?
You know, I've been walking the halls of Money 2020 in Vegas for probably my 10th year coming here. And, you know, what fascinates me is all the cutting edge innovation. And of course, without fail this year, the talk of the town is all forms of artificial intelligence and how, you know, across the supply chain of financial services, whether it's operations, whether it's compliance, whether it's underwriting, whether it's the consumer experience, how does artificial intelligence play a role in reimagining the delivery of financial products, and how, from a consumer's perspective, how they think about a loan, a mortgage, a credit card on a day-to-day basis with the power of the personalization that artificial intelligence brings to bear.
Look, I might come back to AI in a moment, but I wonder if first you could just give me some insight into the inspiration behind MoneyLion.
We started the business 10 years ago in 2013. A lot has changed in the industry since then, and a lot has stayed the same. But, you know, one of the things that we saw when we started the business was the large money center banks were on the sidelines from creating personalized experiences for the long tail of American consumers that were struggling with finances. And, you know, it was a simple idea that you can use really all parts of the data that are being generated from how we live every day, our telco, our utilities, and use all of that to come up with a better understanding of the consumer. So, you know, untether the consumer from the FICO score, the credit score, right? And I think modern economies, the United States, Europe, we have a very robust form of credit reporting, credit scoring, right? But oftentimes, there's a lot of data out there that really tell us a lot more about the consumer. And that was the original premise of MoneyLion, is that, hey, we're going to take all these different pieces of data, and we're going to predict when a consumer has money and when they run out of money. And, you know, it started off as an experiment, and since then, it's been an unbelievable mission-driven journey. It's not been an up-and-to-the-right story. You know, we've had our roller coaster, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. But I think what I'm really proud of the team is that, you know, we serve over 10 million customers today, and that initial vision of creating more financial empowerment for the long tail of American consumers has actually played out really nicely.
And you mentioned AI, that's going to be a big talking point at the event this year. So is embedded finance. What opportunities do you see in that space for MoneyLion?
Yeah, look, I think they're, you know, different sides of the same coin. You know, the more powerful compute you have in artificial intelligence, the more, I guess, friction that's taken out of the consumer experience, right? So, you know, embedded finance has multiple meanings. You can embed banking products deeply into workflows, you know, in entertainment or shopping or e-commerce, right? But it's also, you know, consumers use credit cards and loans and other financial instruments to navigate their life. So embedded finance is really important to what we do at MoneyLion. We have a business called Engine, and we embed marketplaces across the internet. So, you know, if you're a publisher like CNBC or Forbes or Fortune, we're oftentimes powering the widget, the personal loan calculator at those publishers. So that's embedded finance in that nature. And then we're taking the consumer consents and data, and we're matching them with the best financial product in real time, right? So the consumer doesn't have to say, hey, I'm going to go bank by bank by bank to check my loan rate or my mortgage rate, where I'm going to go, you know, through one aggregator and get it all. So, you know, I think inside of that, as artificial intelligence and the data sets that power the AI that we're all looking at adopting and using, the better that personalization is going to get over time, right? So again, it's the shortest distance to action for the consumer, and ultimately it's consumer choice that's driving the adoption of embedded finance writ large.
Now, it's all about solving problems for the consumer, as you say. How do you approach the customer onboarding process at Moneyline?
We have seen the industry come from the medieval ages to 2023, right? I think it's really exciting for the consumer. There are a lot of risks as well for the consumer as well. I think we're going to talk about this in sitting here at Money 2020, that consumers trade off convenience with slight elevated risks of, you know, their identity being stolen, or you know, just unscrupulous things happening with their identity, right? So, you know, we have experimented with just about everything, right? Put your phone number in and log in without putting a password, right? It's, you know, I think password management's become an anathema for a frustration for a lot of consumers, right? So it's always that balance. Where do you strike the balance between really, really fast and easy convenience getting into your product? And look, we deal with people's money, right? So we have a higher bar for ensuring that there's trust in the product, for ensuring that we're doing everything we humanly and AI powered wise to really protect the consumer's capital and the consumer's money and give them the trust. So I think we look at it as, you know, we never take a one-size-fits-all approach here. And we want to make sure that we are straddling the convenience and the friction of, hey, I just want to like look at my phone and get into my banking app, to actually making sure that all the precautions are being taken. Like, look, I mean, there's this, the conference right now is full of vendors that help you ascertain different vectors of fraud, whether it's device ID, whether it's you know, spoofing, whether it's many ways to pretend that you're somebody else from a fraud perspective. So we look at it as one of the lifebloods of our organization, in terms of we have to get consumers in faster than a bank. Our motto is, what would a bank not do? And we try to do the opposite, but at the same time, really instill a lot of trust in that process for the consumer.
Well, let's finish on that point on fraud. I mean, what kind of fraud prevention measures do you have in place? You mentioned AI earlier on in the piece. Obviously, in the hands of increasingly sophisticated fraudsters, that's going to be an issue as well, right?
Yeah, look, the fraud is growing and it's getting very sophisticated, as you said, right? Someone was just telling me a story about a robo Zoom call was spawned on their behalf, and a avatar of them was created, and the avatar was instructing the treasury team that I've got a very special acquisition I want to do, you know, send money to these five accounts. It sounds a little out there right now, but all of these things are going to be things that we have to think about going forward, right? So it goes back to the onboarding of the trust process, that we have to stay one step ahead. I think it's very vibrant on both sides, and there's a lot of innovation on both protecting fraud and the fraudsters trying to use all of the tools to do the nefarious activities that they want, right? So it's a cat and mouse game, and you know, I think that, you know, vendors like Instant and others are going to do a really good job in kind of hopefully staying ahead of those data sets.
Dee Chaube, thanks so much for your insights today. Have a great show.
Great, thanks for having me.
So I'm now joined by Beverly Anderson, the President and CEO of BECU. Beverly, first of all, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. I know you've just come straight off a panel session, which was all about leveling the financial playing field with regards to international payments. Talk us through what the key points were that were made during that session.
Thank you so much, Russell, for having me today. We had an incredible panel. We talked about a few topics. One was about the importance of global remittances and creating a trust-based system that allows people to move money around any kind of way that they want. The second thing we talked about is financial inclusion and how across the financial ecosystem, it's important to cast a broader tent and bring everybody into that tent to serve their needs. And I guess the third thing I would say is we had a conversation about the future of fintech, mergers and acquisition, consolidation, expansion, just all of those fantastic topics.
Now, one of the key themes that we've been focusing on with a number of the interviews that we're doing is all around customer onboarding. I was keen to understand that from your perspective at BECU, you know, what challenges you've got when it comes to customer onboarding, but also with KYC as well.
You know, BECU has historically been a human high-touch channel. We have neighborhood financial centers, our customers would come in the door, we call them members, and we would onboard them that way. Over the last several years, we've really invested in digital, giving our members access to ease of use, real-time movement from, you know, account setup and onboarding. One of the important ways that we have really worked to onboard properly is making sure that we know who our customer is right at the very beginning. And that's layering in fraud tools, KYC capabilities, not getting in the way of the member experience, which is so important, but making sure that we identify and know exactly who that member is. We work with a number of partners that are here, right here at Money 2020, to serve those needs.
Well, that leads nicely on to the next question I wanted to ask you, which was the steps that you've put in place to minimize fraud losses.
That's great. We've been investing in fraud for quite a while and are excited about some new partnerships that we have that allow us to really look at fraud kind of proactively and reactively, particularly in the digital space. So that's really good. The second thing is we're really focused on understanding data better, leveraging our first-party data, you know, the data that we know on our members today, but also really starting to lean into some third-party data, bringing that in so that we have a better sense of who our members are and are we really dealing with them. I guess the third thing would just be making sure that we stay up to date on the latest and greatest innovations in fraud. And as I walk around this Money 2020 convention hall, it's amazing to see the numbers and proliferation of people in the fraud and identity theft space. So I think we've just got more learning to do and more work to do.
Well, look, I've got one final question for you, Beverly, and that's just to understand what the top priorities are for BECU over the next 12 months.
We have a number of priorities, but let me talk about three. The first one is developing an execution path for a new vision and strategy that we rolled out to the organization this year. And that path is really around launching new products, reimagining our members' experiences, and making sure that we're serving their needs, both those that we understand today and those that we anticipate. So that's priority number one. The second priority is ensuring that our employees have the right employee experience at BECU. So we're really investing in talent development, leadership training. We really want to move people up and around the organization and build the talent from the inside out. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is making sure that we stay in touch with our members' needs, that we continue to focus on the thing that we care so much about, which is our purpose, and that's helping improve the financial well-being of our members and their communities.
Well, good luck with all that for the next year or so. But for now, Beverly Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Russell.
I'm here with Milton Santiago, Head of Global Digital Solutions at Silicon Valley Bank. Nice to see you here today.
Good to be here. And Graham, thanks for having me stop by.
Not at all. How's your Money 2020 so far?
It's been an amazing show for us. You know, the show is really going to serve several purposes for us as a bank. First, it's giving us an ability to show the market that we're here. Right. Second, it gives us an opportunity to really connect with our clients. And not only that, but many of those that have booths here at Money 2020 are our customers. And our customers not only use our services for banking purposes, but also, as you saw through the release, many of the technologies that we have power their businesses as well. So it's a great opportunity for us to be here, have those conversations that are so important and relevant during these times, and then also really to network with those that may not be aware of Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start, isn't it? Show everyone that you're here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you start by bringing us up to speed with what's happened in the last year?
Well, we are here. Definitely at the very beginning of the year, everybody knows that we've had some very interesting times, but as an organization, we are here servicing our customers the way we did before. We are providing the services that we've had before, and we're engaged with clients even more. And the last release, or the latest release that you saw, really highlights the fact that the bank continues committed to the innovation economy in not just meeting with clients. And I'll tell you, we've met with well over 30,000 clients, just reinforcing the relationship, but also in continually delivering, again, solutions that not only meet their needs, but are really driven to exceeding the needs of a client base that this innovation economy has really bred, which is probably the most challenging client base in the world, because you have to face it, these customers are disruptors in experience. So as you're trying to service this economy, it's a challenge, but it's something that we're really prepared to meet.
And you're not just here, are you? You're actually plowing forward with the business. You're making an announcement here at Money 2020. Tell me about that.
Yes. So several announcements took place and really focusing on our commitment to this economy and our clients. We've highlighted a lot around embedded technologies that power our clients' business. And this is something that's really unique. So traditional banks will have, for example, online banking solutions, which we also announced, which allow our clients to manage their business. And it's needed, right, to be able to understand, especially for the startups, depending on the life stage they are, understanding what their burn rate, what their runway is. Really helping them extend their business one more day is important, and then also allowing them to focus on managing their business. Well, in addition to that, we realize that banking is hard, especially for the most intelligent, seasoned, I would say, technical people in the world. Getting through the banking systems is challenging. So we focused on how do we make onboarding easy? How do you make, think about it, KYC, IDV, those three, you know, those acronyms themselves are kind of scary. How do we make that easy so that it's frictionless and we could actually make that onboarding experience as expedient as possible? In addition to that, we've talked a little bit about how we power their business. So we have looked at embedded solutions that allow clients to collect payments, for clients to initiate payments. To the degree that you're seeing around 4.5 billion transactions going through these embedded solutions on a monthly basis. Think about that number, right? So are we here? We're here, and we're here to stay.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the onboarding process then. What does that look like at SVB?
So we've simplified the onboarding process online to be no more than 6 screens. And think about that process, right? Being able to collect your name, be able to collect your legal entity information, being able to collect the legal information about your company as well as you as an individual so that we can go through, you know, the IDV KYC process. So it's very condensed, very streamlined. And it literally, within minutes, clients can basically onboard themselves and there's no paper exchange. And it's been received extremely well by our clients. And again, we are working with clients who are digital first, right? These are digital natives, as the term puts it, but they're also disruptors. And they're the type of client base that is going to be very vocal. If they like it, they love it. If they don't, you know. And I can tell you, at this time, well over 80% of our clients are using this for onboarding as they're coming in, and the actual reaction and the feedback is incredibly positive.
Now let's just finish up here and talk about something that's a huge topic at the moment in all of these big events, and certainly here at Money 2020, fraud. So, and fraud prevention. Obviously, the fraudsters are using the new technology like AI. They're becoming ever more sophisticated.
For sure.
How do you combat that?
Yeah. Well, it is with layers. It's a lot of layers. And the one thing, as many financial institutions and even technology organizations, you cannot leave the protection to the actual user themselves. Yes, there's going to be some best practices. We do a lot of education to help our customers identify fraud, for them to be able to be wiser, especially for those that are doing a lot of business. And let's face it, business is fast. And sometimes when you're going fast, you can fall victims to things that you would typically look back and you'd be like, darn, you know, I should have known better, right? And you see this in the press quite often. So it's about a layered security model, both during the onboarding process all the way through the online banking process, that customers are in. It's actually almost like an invisible, I would say, guardian that is overseeing your transactions and making sure that you are who you say you are, the transactions are the ones that you intended, and then beyond just your submission of those transactions, there's additional layers of security that are taking place afterwards to ensure that your transactions are as they were intended to be.
Well, that's great news, and it's great to see Silicon Valley Bank here at Money 2020. As you said, you're back, you're very much, you know, alive in this space, you're making all these announcements. So, Milton Santiago, thanks so much for joining me
today. Thanks for having us. Have a great show.
Okay, I'm here with Kayla Jones, who's the Chief FinTech Banking Officer at Focus Bank. Nice to see you here today.
Yes, pleasure to be here.
Now, I mentioned your job title, Chief FinTech Banking Officer. I understand that Focus Bank brought you on specifically to head up that department and kickstart it. So what was the thinking behind that?
Really, it started with an acknowledgement by our board and CEO that there's been this significant shift in the banking industry. We're a community bank in Southeast Missouri, just under $1 billion in assets. And so as they look to continue to expand and look for new ways to grow, recognize that maybe those brick and mortar locations weren't necessarily the way to do that. The investment and the ROI on those kinds of things aren't what they used to be. So looking at that, the team there was familiar with me. I actually started my career with Focus Bank in 2006 and then bounced around a few different places. So CEO reached out to me to see if I would be willing to come build this kind of fintech sponsorship division for the bank. And so far, it's gone really well. We spent the first nearly year building out the program, talking to our regulators, having conversations, and we are building out that pipeline and looking to continue to grow.
And what would you say are your, I don't know, top three priorities over the next 12 months?
Our top three over the next 12 months would really be to onboard our first couple of partners. More to come on that in the coming months. We're in some final discussions, so exciting things ahead. But getting them onboarded, making sure we're running that process efficiently. And then once we've completed that, continuing to build out our project pipeline and then looking toward how do we create efficiencies? What have we learned over the process of onboarding our first few partners, and how do we improve on that experience for our fintechs?
Now, what you're talking about onboarding there, what does that process actually look like at Focus Bank? And do you use any metrics to track its success?
We start with a thorough due diligence process. From the beginning, our top priority is making sure we're running a sound and compliant operation. We don't want Focus Bank to get in trouble. We don't want any of our fintech partners to risk getting in trouble. So we have conversations with executive leadership, senior leadership, their compliance team, their BSA team if they have one on staff, and then varying depending on whether they're a startup or an existing program, making sure we really understand their vision and what they're doing today and where they might need to make improvements before we do that. And so start to finish, we're making sure we want to be flexible. And then for onboarding, we're also looking at, as far as metrics, looking at, you know, are we meeting project deadlines? We don't want to be the bottleneck in any way. You know, of course, our fintech partners are looking to get a product to market as quickly as possible. So we want to be the reasonable kind of boundaries to that to make sure it's compliant, but we also want to make sure we're allowing them to move quickly. And so our key metric is really whether or not we're able to meet those timeframes or there's some proactive communication going on. And we are also relying heavily on feedback from those partners about what they would like to see, if they've had challenges in the past, how we might be able to address those, and then adapting as necessary if we're hearing that there's kind of a sticking point in that process.
Well, on the subject of challenges, a hot topic at this year's Money 2020 is, of course, fraud and the potential threat that technology like AI can accelerate that and really be, a real challenge to the banks we're speaking to. So, I mean, how concerned are you about that Focus Bank?
Like every other bank here, I know fraud is a continued concern for all of us, and with the introduction of AI, certainly a growing concern. But like with any other technological innovation, you know, the power can be used for good or for evil, right? So it's certainly something we're watching, keeping an eye on. We have an excellent team of experts on staff at the bank. And we're also excited to see kind of how the industry as a whole answers that threat. Obviously, if there's AI that's committing fraud, we expect that a lot of these fintechs and those kinds of things are going to be able to answer that with their own AI to combat. We also think, though, that's an element as a community bank that the human touch has an advantage. You know, when you're a community bank, you know your customers by name, you know what their spend habits look like. And so as you're looking at some of these monitoring transactions and things like that, it's easy to pick out some of those patterns that may not be typical for your customer base.
Yeah. That's interesting that you think maybe the threat of AI could actually be an opportunity for some fintechs.
Absolutely.
To solve those issues.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, that'll be fascinating to see if that actually does transpire. Look, we wish you all the best for your role at Focus Bank. Sounds like it's going brilliantly so far. So all the best for that. And Kayla Jones, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I'm now joined by Todd Pollock, Chief Revenue Officer of Marqeta. Todd, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What's your impression so far of Money 2020, and what do you have planned for the event?
Yeah, so see and be seen is the big theme. So it's been a great experience so far. Lots of energy. It's good to be in person, just to see everybody. You know, it's hard to do a lot of meetings. Most people aren't traveling post-pandemic. So to be here and be in person, it's such a great opportunity just to get in front of all the people that you work with, prospects, customers, and meet some of the new partners that you're going to get a chance to work with over the next couple of years. So it's been exciting so far.
Now, embedded finance, it's a topic that's being discussed here in Vegas, always seems to be the case. But what trends are you seeing this year in that space?
Yeah, so specifically for us, there's been this incredible transition to shifting gig workers. It's something like 60% of folks now are in kind of hourly wage jobs. And the reality is most of those people are either unbanked or don't have a solution for finances. And so what we're seeing is companies that have traditionally not been in financial services really thinking about how they can offer specific opportunities around credit building. Can they have their wages given to them like on an accelerated basis so they can get wages after they work their shifts directly? So all kinds of solutions that hadn't existed in the past, but because there's been this huge transformation in the workforce, essentially what you get is these new opportunities to do magical things. And mostly with embedded finance, what customers are really after is the ability to create loyalty and engender kind of goodwill from these people so that they continue to work for the company. So there's also this idea of longevity, making sure folks stay with you, which goes beyond the traditional payments ecosystem.
Another topic that we're focusing on this year is customer onboarding. Can you talk through the process of that?
We love onboarding. It's one of our most important things that we do. So we always measure time to value, how quickly can we get folks up and running.
Okay.
A traditional process for us usually is about 4 to 6 months, so it's pretty quick. What we traditionally do is we try and do kind of what we would call preconceived constructs. So we have a bunch of use cases like expense management or consumer financial hub that we've done for multiple customers, tens of customers. And ultimately, because we've done that with partner banks on a regular basis or sponsor banks, we are very fast to market. We generally assign someone from our team that's a specialist in that construct to work with you. You get onboarded, you get a partner team that works with you, we hold your hand through the entire process and try and make it as simple as possible. Most of the companies we're doing business with, it's the first time they're getting involved with payments, so we try and make it as simple as possible. We provide them with as much expertise and background in the area they're interested in, and it's been a great process so far. So,
okay, now that leads right onto prevention of fraud. I was wondering how you go about that and ensuring, you know, a secure platform, particularly at the moment in this new age of AI.
Yeah, so there's fraud is always the big question out there. I think for us, we have a whole team that's dedicated to risk and fraud. And essentially, it starts with KYC, KYB. We're constantly looking at sort of ways to identify and make sure that the folks that are on the platform are users of the card that they're using or the instrument. And then I would say, you know, for us, we have lots of rules and decision engineering that we've been building. We have the fourth largest debit program in the world. So for us, we're constantly seeing interesting use cases pop up and working with our partners to try to think about, like, how do we combat that in the future? So.
And now finally, I know you guys are launching your State of Credit report here.
Correct.
This year. Can you share some key findings from that?
Yeah, three things that I think are very important.
Okay.
So number one is 18 to 45-ish year olds, a very, very large percentage, more than 50%, are interested in a new credit card in the next 12 months. So lots of folks out there, lots of opportunity to kind of put your brand in front of them and work with them and earn their loyalty. I would say the second thing is that we learned when we were talking with consumers, you don't really see folks really gravitating towards the bank. So in the co-brand, the consumer's really more attached to the brand. And as a result, what you see is this huge opportunity in the market for corporations to really think differently about what they offer to those consumers that banks haven't traditionally done. And the third thing, which is part and parcel to the second, would be personalized rewards, which is generally what people want. So, you know, most co-brand programs, it's a standard rewards. It's a lot like most of the other credit cards that are out there on the market. And generally, like, everybody who's in the program gets exactly the same thing. What we see and what we're building at Marqeta is the opportunity to completely personalize the rewards structure for every individual user that's on the platform and that has a card. So those are kind of the three trends that I think are the biggest things that we're seeing in the credit space.
That's great. Todd Pollack, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thanks again to all our guests who took the time to chat with us on Instance Booth here at Money 2020 USA.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please do follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to contribute to the discussion, you can find us on LinkedIn and all the usual social channels.
And finally, if you'd like to get in touch with us as well, you can do that via the contact form on the website at csuitepodcast.com. But for now, from me, Russell Goldsmith, and Graham Barrett, thanks for listening and goodbye.